One way there is, one only way, which makes you strong to overcome life's evils and the blows of fate, and in the end, to lead you home. God's friendly hand is seeking yours. Grip hold of it and clasp it tight. His love all ills and bruises cures. His strength will help you win your fight. Let us bow in prayer. Eternal God, who has called us to be the bearers of thy word to the world, grant us, we pray thee, thy strengthening grace for the tasks that are before us today. Give us vision to see every day the greatness of the ministry to which thou hast called us. Guide us, everyone, in the way in which we should walk. The teacher in his teaching, the student in his study, that we may find the paths of thy choosing and walk with full integrity of soul and with reverence and humility, knowing that here we walk on holy ground. Give to us, we pray thee, insight and adaptability to the responsibilities that are ours. Give us courage to learn more of thy truth. Help us by the disciplines of our minds and spirits to add to our faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, and to self-control fortitude, to fortitude true piety, and to piety brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love, in order that we may become day by day maturer persons after the pattern that thou hast set for us in Jesus Christ. In this period of worship and in all our life together throughout the day, open our hearts, enlighten our minds, kindle our spirits to hear what thou art saying to us, and to receive what thou wouldst do for us and in us. For thy kingdom's sake, and in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. All of us would agree, I'm sure, that one worthy objective of our life together this year would be to maintain a warm spiritual glow and to come to the end of the year having grown in personal spiritual stature. For surely that is an integral part of our purpose in coming to the seminary. We frequently say that the seminary is a fellowship of learning, and indeed it is. Seminary life is an adventure in learning the further reaches of truth. the deeper depths, the richer wealth of truth. No student, I think, has a right to be here who has come seeking only to be confirmed in what he thinks he already knows in the form in which he holds it. To such a person, inevitably, the disciplines of biblical understanding and interpretation, of Christian theology and ethics and philosophy, will be a constant irritation to his spirit. This is no place for a closed mind. We are here to learn more and more of divine truth. But what I want to say this morning is that seminary life is more than a fellowship of learning. It's a fellowship of becoming, which has to do with our spirits, our souls, ourselves, integral with the objective of learning. Is the objective of growing as persons, the objective of spiritual maturity, and the development of Christian virtues and graces into a fullness of stature measured by the fullness of Christ. We're not only concerned with brains and learning, we're concerned with the whole person, with his being and his becoming. Our goal is not well-wrinkled brains, but well-developed personalities. A more important question at the end than what we know will be what we have become through our learning and through the disciplines of our own spirits. It is about this attaining of personal spiritual stature that I ask you to think this morning. It's every man's problem. The professor can prescribe much of our intellectual disciplines and hold us to account, but he cannot prescribe our spiritual disciplines. That is between us and God. Of course, we can either help or hinder one another in the community, for it is a community problem. How we may cooperate to maintain a healthy glow of vigorous spiritual devotion and personal spiritual growth. But even as a community problem, it is also a problem of the individual, for all depends on what the individual does and how he relates himself to the common problem of the community. I could speak at some length about the fact of the problem out of experience. We are not long here before many students begin to realize that they are letting their spiritual life decline, that there are many things in seminary life that seem to add nothing to a man's desire to grow in his inward self. We are subject to influences, and we ourselves can walk in paths that get more and more remote from the center of a burning spirit. We lose the spiritual glow. I think there are some things that we could do together, but I'm concerned this morning that it become an individual question for every one of us. How can I maintain for myself a warm spiritual devotion? How can I increase in Christian maturity of character and spirit? Am I, by my spiritual qualities and attitudes, lifting the level of seminary life, or am I reducing it? In the First World War, troops were sent out by divisions. Many thousands of people, of soldiers on a given day, would march from the camp through the streets to the trains on their way to war. One day, when a division was passing and they had tramped hour upon hour, a girl by the street saw her boyfriend in the ranks. And she shouted out, "Sam, where are you going?" And Sam shouted back, "I ain't going nowhere. They's carrying me." Am I being carried along, or am I marching with vigor and purpose? I take it that none wants to be a spiritual drag on the community. Our concern is, in what direction shall we look for an answer to our problem of spiritual living and spiritual growth? And this morning, I suggest two things. First, every man must look in the direction of his closet, the closet of his own soul, where only God and he are present. Attendance at the chapel service is not enough. To be sure, that will greatly help. And non-attendance at chapel is sure to be greatly hurtful. But it is not the whole answer. Neither are voluntary group meetings in the dormitories enough. But if rightly entered into, if we talk about the right things and pray about the right things and re-examine not our intellectual problems but our spiritual problems in the presence of God, they will greatly help. And I think are indispensable. But after all, we must in solitude seek the fellowship and guidance of God, constantly bringing to Him our thoughts and feelings, our attitudes and purposes, our deeds and motives, our convictions and perplexities, and re-examining them in the presence of God, seeking His wisdom to think straight and His grace and courage to do the right in every circumstance. This is the prayer of solitude, of communion, unhurried and frank. This is prayer in which there is self-examination, confession, meditation upon what God has said, the outreach of the soul to full integrity before God, with an openness of spirit to receive and obey the light that comes to us in the secret place. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. We need to go to our closets with God. My second suggestion has to do with our study. The student is in danger of making a false antithesis between the intellectual and the spiritual, as if they were exclusive of one another and mutually antagonistic, and he has to choose between being a hard student and a pious man. I shall not stop to discuss our frequently false conceptions of being spiritual, except to say that any definition of spirituality that is compatible with intellectual laziness and indifference to increasing knowledge of the truth must be held suspect. What I want to say is that our study is an essential part of our spiritual discipline. The great commandment is that thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. Everything that a man is and does is included in that holy dedication: his spirit, his mind, his vital energies. The apostle said, whatsoever you do, and surely that would include our work as theological students, whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. This is our challenge when we open our books, even our Hebrew and Greek grammars. To regard the demand of study with all its grind and difficulty and weariness as an integral part of our life in Christ, and our study tables as altars on which we constantly worship, offering to God the best energies of our minds and bodies. As long as our closets only and not our study tables are places of worship, there will be an enervating division and confusion and frustration in the student's soul. On the other hand, when our most exacting and exhausting tasks of study and research are seen in true perspective, they become a positive contribution to our spirit's growth toward maturity. Jesus set the knowledge of truth in the foreground for the men who were to preach his redemption. For 3 years, he taught and taught and taught, planting truth upon truth in their hearts, explaining, correcting, guiding. And when he was about to leave them, he said, "I have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all the truth." To learn is our task here. To learn is the pursuit of spiritual men. To learn whatever it is necessary to learn. To learn today what we were not prepared to learn yesterday. And to build foundations of learning today for what we shall learn tomorrow and the next. It is the Spirit of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we have the Spirit. The Spirit of truth with us when we open our books at our study tables. And how can we get closer to God than when his guiding Spirit walks with us through hard places to deliver our stumbling minds from falling and to plant our feet on solid understanding. And how wonderful it is to look back and see that it was in the hard places of strictest self-discipline and toil that we made our surest spiritual progress. So this morning I'm suggesting to you that here at the near beginning of the seminary year, we dedicate our souls to the Spirit of God, that we dedicate ourselves to communion with God in our closets, that is, alone. And yes, of very great importance, if we would be men after the stature of Jesus Christ, let us see our study tables as altars where we are pouring out the strength of our minds and the diligence of our pursuits in worship to the eternal. Let us stand. Help us, we pray thee, each of us, that we may take a good place in seminary life by becoming better men and women as we live together. Cleanse our hearts. Renew right spirits within us. Teach us to do all things for thy glory. And grant that in the months that are ahead of us, we may experience among ourselves a spiritual glow, a warmth of heart toward thee and toward one another, that we may come to the end with rejoicing in him who leads us. For it is the name, in the name of our Lord, that we pray. Amen.